Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Alicia. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, thank you.
So happy to have you here. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Alicia Thompson. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Alicia Books. I am a giant Paramore fan. I read a lot. I like to track my movie and TV show watching very obsessively. So I watch like an episode a day and I really track it in a way that, you know, turns something that should just be enjoyable into a task on my to-do list.
So how do you track it? Do you have like a spreadsheet or like what way do you track it?
Well, I have a couple ways. So I always have like Gmail drafts open all the time. And so I have a Gmail draft that like right now I'm counting down episodes of Damages until my book comes out. Cause I have the exact number of episodes to watch as days until the book comes out. So I have that in a Gmail draft that I like keep track and make sure I'm on track for that. And then I also put it in my planner. So every day I put like watch an episode of Damages in my planner. Like it's a real task I have to do.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So tell me about Damages and why are you watching it? You know?
Well, I went to brunch with a couple friends and I had heard of the show, but I actually hadn't seen it. But I work in the legal field. So like legal stuff is usually kind of right up my alley. I really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. You would think maybe I wouldn't because I'm surrounded by it all day, but I find it really fun and fascinating. And so I was at this brunch with my friends and they mentioned something about Damages. And I was like, oh, I've never seen that. And they like almost jumped out of their seats. They were like, you have to watch this show. And then one of them mentioned Rose Byrne and her impeccable smoky eye. And I'm a big Rose Byrne fan. So I was like, okay, I'm sold.
So where do you watch it? Which stream service is it available on?
It's on Hulu.
Oh, perfect. Thank you for selling us a TV show to watch.
Yeah, a TV show from like 12 years ago or something. But I don't know. It is
all good.
It's twisty, turny. It's like very network, you know? Yeah.
It is all good. Honestly, I'm right now watching Love Island from UK and I'm watching.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like watching it like bootleg from like straight out the same day that they showcased. And so I realized it's like there's something to be said about watching a show a day, you know?
Yeah.
It's something to look forward to, you know?
One thing I realized about myself is that I feel like my life goes the best when I have myself on rails a little bit. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I just want to like kind of check things off and I just want to kind of put blinders on and like go forward and try to get as much, you know, stuff checked off my to-do list as I can. And the more I do that, even with fun stuff like reading or shows, the better my mental health is, to be honest with you.
Yes, I can totally identify with this so much. I track my reading. I track pretty much everything. Like I used to have, I think once upon a time I had a tracker where I track every single aspect of my life. Like, did I do community service? Did I go to therapy? Did I do 12-step, whatever? And I tracked, like I had color-coded spreadsheet of my life. I've been searching for that spreadsheet in my Google Drive and it's nowhere to be found. But I
It sounds amazing though.
It was just like, I felt so freaking proud of myself for that year, you know, like I'm like, and every so often I try to chase that, you know, that high.
Yeah. Always chasing the high of a color-coded spreadsheet.
Yes. So I love this. All right. So let's chat about your writing process. Like talk about like how did you like thinking of your style? How did you write this book?
Very similarly actually to that. So I started writing it in early August and I had a deadline, a goal for myself, because I really wanted to get a draft done by Pitch Wars. Mm-hmm. And the Pitch Wars deadline was in like late September, early October. They actually pushed it back a couple days, which I was like thrilled. I was like falling to my knees. I could not believe my luck that they gave me an extra couple days. I really just tried to do kind of the same thing where I had like a word count goal every day and I was trying to hit it. And I kept a notebook with this project. So I basically had the notebook by my side and every 1,000 words I would write like a quote I really liked from what I had written before. was just kind of a way to like keep myself motivated and kind of remind myself, like, you're writing some good shit. Like, there's some good stuff in here, you know? Sorry, I don't know if I'm allowed to curse on this.
Yeah, you are.
Okay. Okay. Well, good. Then I'm no holds barred. But yeah, so I kept my little notebook and I just basically, you know, had all these schedules of like, you're going to write 40,000 words by this day. You're going to write 50,000 words by this day. And I almost never make my schedule. Like, I basically write like 18 different versions of that schedule, mm-hmm. but it at least, it does help keep me on track. It motivates me a lot.
All right, let's talk about the book. Tell us the elevator pitch.
Basically, it is Love in the Time of Serial Killers. It's about a woman, Phoebe Walsh, who is a PhD candidate. She's studying true crime. And so she sees everything through that lens. So like when she goes home back to her dad's house, her dad passed away earlier that year. And she goes back to his house in Florida to, this is getting away from the elevator pitch. I'm sorry. Now I'm getting too deep. But she goes back to his house to kind of just like clean up and take care of stuff. And the neighbor is this very nice, very hot, of course, guy. And he's just trying to do neighborly stuff for her. He helps her move some furniture. He mows her grass for her. And she just basically thinks that's some Ted Bundy shit right there and does not trust him at all, is very suspicious of him. But yeah, kind of comes to find that the only thing in danger is her heart.
Oh, all right. So it deals with true crime. And so do you follow like podcasts, serial killers, like what, you know, what's your journey within true crime?
Yeah, I read a lot of true crime when I was in high school in particular. I was definitely one of those girls that like, you know, would tell you my favorite serial killer partially as a way to like scare you off a little bit, to kind of be like, don't mess with me. You know, I have a favorite serial killer. But I read a lot of true crime in that era. And then definitely having kids kind of made it a little harder to engage with true crime. Mm-hmm. When my kids were really little, I found it a little more difficult. The days of falling asleep to Forensic Files wasn't quite the same anymore. But I engage with it now. It just, I do have to be in the right headspace for it. I'm not always in a mindset for true crime, but when I get really into like a really good book or a really good podcast or something, I'm deep in it.
Love it. All right. So let's chat some book reading. So you also mentioned you're a reader. So what kind of books do you tend to gravitate?
So I actually had a graduate school professor who once said that she read promiscuously, and I basically just kind of started borrowing that for myself because I liked it so much. I will read almost anything. I mean, if you put it in front of me, I just want to read it. So I read obviously a lot of romance. I do read true crime. I read celebrity memoirs. I read, you know, a lot of literary fiction, mystery, thriller, whatever. So basically if it's a book, I will at least give it a try.
All right. Favorite celebrity memoir. Do you have any favorites?
Oh God. Off the top of my head, I'm going to say Jessica Simpson's is incredible. Everything you've heard is true. If you're like, this book cannot be this good, it is. She dishes everything about Nick Lachey, about John Mayer, absolute trash. I was into it.
It was so good. And if you listen to it, it's really good because she narrates it. So you just, you're hearing her talk. You're like, my BFF Jessica Simpson.
I will almost not read a celebrity memoir in a physical book form. I only want it on audio because their voice reading it just really adds a special something to it. Matthew McConaughey's was amazing because I just think he has a great voice and I could listen to it. Alicia Keys, I could listen to her voice all day, every day. So hers was great just from an audio perspective, honestly.
I love this. All right, so let's chat some book recommendations. How many books do you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Okay, so luckily you told me to prepare this ahead of time because otherwise I would have like immediately forgotten any books that I'd ever read in my life. So I recently read A Lady for a Duke by Alexis Hall, and I thought that was just a fantastic, amazing historical romance. It has a trans protagonist, and it's, what I loved about it was it's very angsty, which to me the best historical romance is angsty. Like the hero is a wounded war veteran who has a lot of just kind of PTSD and a lot of baggage about his time in Waterloo. And he was friends with the protagonist Viola, and believed that she died in the war. Mm-hmm. And so he has just a lot of baggage about that. And then Viola is a really great character who's also, you know, really had to deal with a transformation in herself and kind of coming into herself, learning who she really was. And she, it's also very witty. That's also what I love about it. Alexis Hall's writing is so witty. Mm-hmm. And there were just so many lines that I was like delighting in, very Oscar Wilde-esque. Another book I read recently was The Dead Romantics by Ashley Poston. I love that book so much. Kind of Addams Family vibes to it, kind of quirky. Basically, if you ever shipped Casper and Christina Ricci from the movie back in the day, this mm-hmm. book is for you, because all I want is tension between a ghost and a girl who loves the ghost. So I loved it. It was great. And then a book I read a little bit ago, a few months ago, but I still think about all the time, is 7 Days in June by Tia Williams. Mm-hmm. And I just think second chance romance is, to me, one of the hardest tropes to write or to do well, because you really have to sell the history, but you also have to sell that they should be back together now. Mm-hmm. And I just think the history and the chemistry in that book is so realistic, and it feel like they feel real. Like, I feel like I know those characters.
I love these recommendations so, so much. So Alicia, tell us where we can find you online.
So I am on Instagram too much, and I'm Alicia Books there. And then I'm on Twitter as well. Not as much as I used to be, thankfully, but still more than I should be. And that's also Alicia Books. I have a newsletter that comes out every couple weeks where I talk about a song I'm really into, and then usually what I'm watching, what I'm reading, what I'm listening to, just different stuff going on in my life. And that's aliciabooks.substack.com.
Thank you, Alicia, for being on the show.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourneextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With LibroFM, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports the local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free LibroFM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen next, check out recommendations from people who know the best booksellers. The Watch Your Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on LibroFM for the price of one with your first month membership. Use code WATCHYOURNEXT. The offer is valid only for new members in Canada and the U.S. The Watch Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Your Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourneextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more, or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.